Somebody shout right now. Everybody standing that can for the reading of God's word. That's my custom. I love you so. I could not wait to get here to speak to you today. I have been carrying this word in my spirit, and guess who I've been carrying it for? You. I've been studying this and leaning into this word for weeks. Who came to get a word from heaven? Come on. I prayed over this last night. I was overwhelmed by the presence of God. I went upstairs by myself and just sought the Lord and asked him to just lean in my spirit and just dominate my thoughts and my words, because he wants to change somebody's life today in this season of consecration. You by live stream, precious, you honor me by being with us. You can share this if you would like to and invite people into this service. I'm coming from 2 Kings chapter 22. I believe this is a crucial moment for somebody in the room, that God has this divine download that he wants to provide for your spirit right now. The Bible says here in verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. How many of you were not kings when you were 8 years old? Come on now. I was in Miss Webb's class. Can I get a witness? I was on my way to Miss Hadley's class, an African-American teacher who used to spank us in the classroom. Come on. She had two paddles. She had a ping pong paddle. She called her pistol, and she had a big paddle, a big long one, 2x4. She called that her cannon. I never once got it with the pistol. She tore me up with the cannon about 3 times a week. But anyway, at 8 years old, I wasn't where Josiah is. But it says Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adoiah of Bozkath. And he did what was what? Right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the ways of his father, would have been his great, great down the line, grandfather David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Then the 23rd chapter, the 25th verse said, now before him, Josiah, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord, watch this, with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. I want to preach for a few minutes along these lines, the Josiah generation. But if I was going to subtitle this, I would subtitle it, there's a word over my life. I need you to tell somebody in your neighborhood, there's a word over my life. Yeah, God's got a plan for my life. I didn't just luck up in here today, but I'm here because of the divine direction of the Lord. I need to tell somebody in this room that there is a word over your life, and no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Now, this is why I'm about to pray with you, but next Sunday night, we're going to have an amazing anointing service. You remember when I preached the mingling of the oil about 3 or 4 weeks ago? We saved that oil, and we're bringing our campuses in, and we're going to have on November the 2nd, next Sunday night, an all-campus revival service, and we're going to have an anointing service. How many of you have a word over your life, and you want to move forward in the anointing? It's going to be a powerful time. Raise up your hands, precious. Lord, today I desire you more than I ever have, I think, in all my years of ministry and life. And I'm asking you to help me help somebody today. I've studied, I've prayed, I've prepared, God. I've ran hard this week, but Lord, I feel strength in my body because you've given me such an assignment to deliver your word. I pray today, God, that we would never be the same again, that you would reacquaint us with the fact that you have a plan for us. And we tell you right now, every foul scheme of the devil, we remind you, devil, that you don't direct our path. We remind you, devil, that you're not in charge of our future. But we rejoice, for the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. If you believe you have a word over your life and you want to be a part of the Josiah generation, give God a mighty shout right now. Come on. Before you sit down, tell everybody in your neighborhood, this word is for me. This word is for me. I almost titled this message, Precious, There's a Word Over My Life. I want to talk to you about a man named Josiah who became king when he was 8 years old. Can you imagine? Josiah steps on the stage of history and he steps into the role of king on the throne of Judah in 2 Kings 22:1. He's 8 years old and what he inherits is a mess. He inherits a polluted lineage. And we can't truly understand the totality of this message without reaching back into the past. Because sometimes, Precious, the key in your life to moving forward is remembering where you came from. I wonder if there's anybody here who remembers where you came from and you remember what you made it through. I got about 12 people. I said, is there anybody who's been through something in your life? Is there anybody who knows that I'm here today because of the goodness of God? Can I get one witness in the house? Is that anybody here or on live stream? So I want to go all the way back in this story of Josiah because it doesn't just start with him. Precious, I want to go back to his great-great-grandfather, a king named Hezekiah. And I need to spend a few minutes with Hezekiah today and acquaint you with Hezekiah because in all actuality, this is where the generational trouble began. Because the truth is, sometimes you don't just have to fight your devil, you got to fight your daddy's devil. Sometimes you got to fight your mama's devil. Sometimes you're fighting your great-granddaddy's devil. And you have to fight these devils and these familiar spirits. Come on. There's something called a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit has the same connotation. It's the same word group as family. And there are spirits that will get a hold of a family. It seems like the whole family can't tell the truth. Come on, somebody. Seems like the whole family is immoral. The whole family, then they say, that's just the Brown way. You know, they can't have good marriages. That's just the Jones way. No, there's a devil loose. That familiar spirit shows up at family reunion and does everything but eat ribs. Come on, somebody. Now, Hezekiah, it starts with Hezekiah. And what you must note about Hezekiah is he started so well. His name, Hezekiah, if you define his name, it means Yahweh strengthens, or an even easier understanding of his name would be this, the Lord is my strength. Hezekiah lived up to his name for so many years, y'all. When he was surrounded by 185,000 Assyrians, he was in impossible situations throughout his life, especially then. He didn't know what to do, but he leaned into Yahweh. He leaned into the Lord. And when he was facing death, the Lord sustained him, and they overcame the Assyrians time and time again. Hezekiah leaned in knowing that Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord is his strength. And I just wonder today if there's anyone who would admit that you've absolutely throughout times in your life depended on Jehovah and he has come through again and again. Is there anybody with the common sense enough to realize that you didn't get here this morning and this place in life without the strength of the Lord? That you know that you're not that gifted. You know that you're not that strong. You know that the enemy's agenda was to destroy your life. But somehow in the midst of the greatest attack, when you were surrounded, Jehovah became your strength. And here you are today as a living witness that God will do for you what you are unable to do for yourself. Oh, there's a lot of reasons I praise him. But he's been my strength. This was Hezekiah. Somebody needs to lean in today to the Lord's strength. Some of you have been trying to fight this battle and deal with this issue, Precious, on your own, and you're not strong enough. You've been trying to figure it out, but some things you don't figure out, some things you cast out. Some things you pray out, you believe out. Now, Hezekiah is a godly king, and the scripture says that he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among him of all the kings of Judah, nor there were there any before him. He removed the high places. Watch. He smashed the sacred stones of immorality and adultery. He broke in pieces the bronze serpent, even that Moses had made in the desert, because the people had turned it into an idol. He restored temple worship. He celebrated Passover, and he called his entire nation back to covenant. But the last 15 years of his life are a sordid and sad testimony, because it represents a turning point. It tells me, precious, it doesn't just matter how you start. It matters how you finish. You who are Bible people know that in 2 Kings 20, Isaiah told Hezekiah to set his house in order because he was about to die. Do you remember that story? And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he wept bitterly. And God then, in response to that, added 15 more years to his life. But during those 15 years of God's grace, pride kept in. Pride crept in, and he forgot that that Yahweh was his strength. During those 15 years, he forgot the meaning of his own name. He forgot about the fact that the only reason he had had victory after victory was because Jehovah had strengthened him. In fact, when the Babylonians came to visit, he showed them his wealth. He showed them his treasures, and he boasted in himself rather than boasting in God. And Isaiah prophesied to him, and he said, your pride is going to cost you dearly. And it did, because in that 15 years, a son named Manasseh was born. His greatest failure was with Manasseh, not with the kingdom. Manasseh was his son. And Hezekiah's greatest failure was not spiritual weakness. It was spiritual short-sightedness. He fought his own battles, but he didn't train his sons to fight theirs. He never made a generational deposit. And the Bible says that when Isaiah prophesied that judgment was coming, here's how Hezekiah responded. Listen to what Hezekiah said. He said, at least there will be peace in my day. He was so short-sighted that he didn't even see that his children needed that deposit. Don't call yourself a spiritual father or a spiritual mother if you don't have a passion for the next generation, if you don't want to prepare them, if you don't want to put a divine deposit in them. Can you imagine? This man Hezekiah lived only for himself. He had strength, but he didn't transfer it. He had revival, but he didn't raise up revivalists. And let me tell you something. He failed the next generation. But I have made up in my mind that Calvary will not lose the next generation. We will not lose our children. We will not lose our teenagers. We will not lose our young adults. We will not lose the next generation. We've been looking at our guest information cards over the last 5 or 6 months, and the fastest growing demographic of our church and the most visitors that we have are between the ages of 19 and 26. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying I don't want everybody to come. I do. But I am serving hell notice that this is a house where we're going to value the next generation, and our oil will not die with us. Come on, somebody. If you want to see your children and your grandchildren walk in the power of God, give the Lord a praise right now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is why we've built facilities, incredible youth and young adult facilities in the back, incredible children's facilities across the street. That's why we have a school, because we care about the next generation. Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, came into the world during that 15 years of grace that God gave Hezekiah. And the great tragedy, as I said, was a failure of impartation. For all of Hezekiah's reforms, he didn't instill a covenant consecration in this season of consecration. He consecrated the temple, but he didn't consecrate his home. He was one way in the temple. He must have been another way at home. Let me tell you, reformation without impartation is temporary. It's a beautiful thing to have God's amazing grace reform and transform your life, but God never intends for consecration to stop with you. He never intends for this work of redemption to stop with you. Hezekiah's reforms were sweeping, but they never made it to his own house. He was strong in public, but he was weak in private. And hear me in this room. It's okay to be strong in public, but you need to be strongest when you're at home. Because here he is. He's strong on the throne, but he's weak at home. He's a hero on the throne, but he's a zero at home. And I've come to tell you, if you're a preacher and you're watching me, I don't care how articulate you are and how great you preach and what you are on that stage. If you are not someone that your children can depend and rely on, it doesn't make a hill of beans. Let me tell you something. I regress for a moment, but I want to talk to you. This last Wednesday night, I was honored to open up RUWOC, and we had 2,500 pastors and leaders there from across the nation. It was literally electric. I can't even describe to you. I preached the message there, the mingling of the oil. And I'm telling you, God came in that place in a way that I can't even articulate to you. I stood up under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you what blew my mind and was the cherry on top, and the greatest part of that night for me was I had two daughters on that stage, one named Courtney and one named Channing, who opened that service up and led that great house in praise and worship. I watched my children dance across the stage, and I realized something. Hallelujah. That's the real blessing. Can I get one witness in the house? Everything else is a bonus. The churches are a bonus. The churches, the ministries, all that's a bonus. I feel so blessed to be able to do that. But the fact that our children serve the Lord, that's the greatest thing. And I make a divine declaration that even if your children are lost, hallelujah, they are coming back into the kingdom in a mighty way. Somebody who's determined not to let this deposit stop with you, open up your mouth and give God a praise. Manasseh is born in this atmosphere. He is born, and Manasseh's name means to forget. In fact, if you lean into that name in this context, his name would mean the one who forgets. Tell your neighbor, don't be the one who forgets. Yeah, don't forget how good God has been to you or where God has brought you from. And 2 Kings 21 said that he shed so much blood, so much innocent blood, that it filled the city of Jerusalem from one end to another. He buried, literally buried the word of God, and set up idols inside the temple of Jehovah. He lived up to his name, and he forgot God, and he caused Judah to forget God. Can you imagine a nation called Judah? Judah means praise. A nation that had been established by Jehovah himself. A nation called Judah, and they forgot God. They still met in the temple, but God wasn't there. Judah was still going to the temple, but there was no presence of Jehovah. And one side note, I want to tell you this. Judah was created to be a place and a people of praise, and they forgot God. And I want to tell you something in love today, and I want you to hear me. If you're watching me by live stream and you're a church leader, praise that forgets God has no power. I don't care how good the music is. I don't care how great the band is. I don't care. It doesn't matter how nice the facilities are and the sound system is. If you're up there singing, but you're not singing in response to what the Lord has done, that praise has no power. That praise has no authority. That praise is nothing that God will show up in. But when you praise the Lord and it is in response to what the cross has meant to you, what the blood has meant to you, that's when Jehovah will ride in on that praise. I don't want to be in a church where it's just noisy. I don't want to be in a church that just has nice lights and good sound. But I want to be in a place where there is a house of Judah that praises the Lord according to the goodness and his excellent greatness. Somebody praise him right now. Can I go a little deeper? Manasseh represents the compromise that creeps into the house of the Lord. Can be perversion that would pollute our worship, and adultery that silences the truth. And he forgot God. And because he forgot God, the nation's name that means praise forgot God. And I know that my praise may seem a little bit rowdy. I know when you come to Calvary and you see hundreds of people up front, and they're dancing, here comes freedom, here comes another way, here comes another way. Come on, somebody. We clap our way in, we dance our way in, we shout our way. When you see all that and you're thinking, it don't take all that. But listen, our praise may seem a little radical and rowdy, but when we praise in this house, we cannot help ourselves, because unlike Manasseh, we remember. Manasseh may have forgotten, but we remember. Look down your row and say, I remember. Yeah, yeah, I remember. I remember how far I've come. I remember how good God has been. I remember when I got saved. I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Somebody right now ought to stop and bring God a I remember praise. I said somebody ought to stop right now and bring God a I remember praise. Look down your row and tell your row, say, welcome to the I remember row. Yeah, yeah, I remember when I was suicidal. I remember when I was addicted. I remember when I was lost. I remember when I was fornicating. I remember when I was struggling. I remember when I didn't know what to do. I remember how far God has brought me. I remember. And when I remember, I cannot help but clap my hands or shout unto God. Somebody shout, I remember. Sometimes you just need to bring God a I ain't forgot praise. Now, the issue was consecration. Remember, consecration is a separation. And you consecrate yourself, preparing for what God wants to do. Remember, God told the children of Israel, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecration is powerful because consecrated people are in position to receive miracles. But here's the issue. When consecration isn't taught, consecration then is not the norm. Compromise is the norm. When the word gets buried, they literally buried the word. That's what they did. They found a place in the temple and they buried the word. And when the word is buried in the church, the next generation forgets who they are. They'll struggle. They won't even be able to tell whether they're male or female. Y'all don't want to say anything to me. They'll struggle in their identity in every way. They'll struggle feeling like they're worth anything. And hear me in this room. When the word is buried, the next generation forgets. Manasseh means to forget. His reign made Judah forget the covenant. But what they did remember was idols. And I'm telling you, we are a Hezekiah generation. The Hezekiah's name means Jehovah has strengthened. And we are here today as a testimony that Jehovah has strengthened us and made a way for us. But bless God. God, I am declaring we will raise up a generation out of this house and out of every Calvary campus who will not forget God. You say, why, Apostle? Because we will not let them. Manasseh then had his own son. His own son's name was Amnon. And Amnon, his name means faithful builder. He was a builder, yet he built altars to demons instead of altars to Yahweh. He was a faithful builder. We all talk about how faithful God is. Has God been faithful to anybody here today? Oh, certainly he has. I'll tell you, we got a good crowd today. Make a little noise if God's been faithful to you. Can I tell you this? But God is not the only one faithful. The devil is faithful. The devil is faithful to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The devil is faithful to sow division. The devil is faithful to go after your family. The devil is faithful to do all that he can with all that he's got. But I have decided that I'm not going to let one demonic force be more faithful than I am. I'm going to be more faithful to my family than the devil ever thought about being. Come on, somebody, into my generation. This Amnon, he became king at 22 years old. His reign was short, but his wickedness was long. And it was a devastating continuation of what Manasseh had established. In fact, it wasn't just a continuation, precious, it was an escalation. And he rebuilt idolatrous altars and he strengthened them. And 2 Chronicles 33 says this, he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. Amnon sacrificed to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made. And the Bible said he served them. He took it to another level. And the Bible declares that he refused to humble themselves. Where his father Manasseh introduced idols, Amnon multiplied them. What is bad in one generation will be worse in another. Come on, somebody. I said, what is bad in one generation, if we don't address it, it will get more iniquitous and unrighteous in another. But I believe that God is wanting to raise up a generation of believers who will perpetuate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and righteousness. Hear me in this room. His rebellion of Amnon, it wasn't passive, it was faithful, it was active, it was committed, it was consistent. It was a construction of false worship. He refused, like I said, to humble himself. 2 Chronicles 33 said he did not humble himself before the Lord. But Amnon trespassed more and more. Listen, in Jesus' name, we're going to be Hezekiah's, but we're going to be the ones that the Lord has strengthened, who refuse to raise up Manasseh's who forget. I mean, even if your children don't serve the Lord, they ought to hear the language of the kingdom coming out of your mouth. I mean, it may aggravate them, but you ought to give God glory. You ought to give God praise for every breakthrough. You ought to say hallelujah. If that son comes to you and say, I got a promotion and he is nowhere near serving God, you need to look at him and say, thank God I prayed for you. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to keep quiet. I used to play full court basketball a couple times a week. When we were young, I played at the park, and I would go and play in the hood. Come on, y'all, because that's where I live, so that's where I played. And I would go in there and I would play, and they would be cussing and acting crazy. And I would hit a shot. I'd put this big old you know what and posting up on them. And I would hit a shot, man, and I would say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I would hit a three and say, look what the Lord has done. Come on, somebody. I would pass the ball and say, yeah, God is good. And they're looking at me like I lost my mind. They said, who are you? I said, man, I'm a pastor here in Tampa over there in Six Mile Creek on Aura. You're a preacher? And then they started saying, when they would cuss, they say, ooh, sorry, Rev. Oh, why, you didn't mean to do that. Let me tell you something. We got to get the language of the kingdom back in our sons and daughters, whether they serve the Lord. The kingdom suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. Let me tell you, some of those most violent things you can do is open your mouth and declare that God is good and the Lord is on our side and give him glory. In this situation, we see that Hezekiah, whom the Lord has strengthened, he forgot and didn't instill it in Manasseh. Manasseh raised up Amnon, who built iniquity. But in the name of Jesus, we'll be Hezekiah's, who will give God glory. We'll be Manasseh's, who won't forget. And we'll be Ahab's, who build for the glory of God. Now here we are, three generations in, and this is where I haven't started preaching yet. I've been getting ready to preach. There is a boy king who is born. He's a boy king with a burning assignment. And the generational curses are about to be broken. How many of you believe that God can break a generational curse off of your family? I dare somebody right now, if salvation and the blood ever broke a generational curse over your life, give God a shout in this room. So here he is. He's a boy king. A boy king, 8 years old, but he has a burning assignment. Can you imagine? He takes the throne at 8 years old. Eight in the Bible. I've taught you this in years gone by. It represents new beginning. It represents renewal. It represents new things. And here God is bringing an eight-year-old boy. He's bringing this eight-year-old boy to that broken land. And he's going to do a miracle in a nation bound by adultery and perversion and covenant forgetfulness. God raised up an eight-year-old boy to declare that God is doing a new thing. I say by faith, I'm not 8 years old, but I say to the United States of America that God is doing a new thing, and I'm not ashamed to declare it. Now, Josiah's name, what's this? You ready? His name means Yahweh heals, and his reign would be marked by the healing of a broken land. 8 years old. At 8 years old, he was too young to be wise, but he wasn't too young to be chosen. God help me, I feel like preaching. He was too young to be wise. Everybody said he's unqualified. Everybody said you can't use that boy. He's only 8 years old. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter how jacked up your past is. It doesn't matter what your family lineage is. It doesn't matter what you came through. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen. When God gets ready to select you, God will raise you up. God will empower you. God will strengthen you. Dear Lord, is there anybody who says, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, use me? Sometimes God will use people we think he shouldn't use just to get on our nerves. Can I just do a just to give you a little side note here? God's not going to kill somebody just because you don't like them. He'll probably wind up saving them and putting them on the seat right beside you. Come on, somebody. At 8 years old, he was too young to be wise, but not too young to be chosen. You may feel too broken to be wise, too broken to be effective, but I've come to tell you it doesn't matter what you before was. If God chooses you, everything changes. Now remember, I told you that they had buried the word, literally buried the word. And in this rubble, they dug up the word. The high priest Hilkiah. Hilkiah's name means Yahweh is my portion. He went through and dug that word up. And when he dug up that word, he found the book of the law. And he was declaring there, even with his name, we have been depending on anything and everything else, but Yahweh has got to be our portion. And I want to tell you today, people will disappoint you. Strategies will fail you. The political parties are not faithful to do what they say, but there is a king named Jesus. And when he is for you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yahweh is my portion. At 61 years old, Yahweh is still my portion. I still get excited about Yahweh. Yahweh is worthy, worthy, Yahweh is worthy. Yahweh is worthy. Praise will break the chains. Come on, y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I still get excited about Yahweh. Jesus is still my portion. I still believe in the Bible. After all these years, I'm a living witness of the faithfulness of God. Now, can you imagine? Yahweh is my portion. We're declaring here, I don't care what anybody else chooses. Yahweh is my portion. It won't change the fact that I've chosen the Lord. Now the scribe, Shaphan, begins to read. And as he read, this 8-year-old boy, they find the word, okay? Shaphan begins to read, and this 8-year-old king, 8 years old, begins to hear the word. And the Bible said, as he heard the word, he tore his garments. A little 8-year-old boy began to tear his garments. And what was going on here, there was so much more than clothes ripping. This was the heart of an 8-year-old boy being ripped open before God. He was overwhelmed with conviction. He was overwhelmed with conviction as eight years old. As they read the word, he was overcome with conviction and began to repent. See, revival's going to begin again in the church when we rediscover the word. You hear me? I thank God for the word we preach here. But there's some churches, and I'm not trying to attack anybody, but they've abandoned the word. They can tell you, oh, they'll give you a good motivational message. Years ago, I rode by a church, and I saw a sign in the front of the church sign, and it said, I'll be Sunday morning. The title of the message was, How to Make Friends. I'm sitting there looking at that sign and said, this dude is going to preach a message called How to Make Friends. Let me tell you, you are grown. You have been in the world long enough. You ought to be able to make friends. You ought to be able to shake somebody's hand and say, hello, my name is Fred. Come on, my name is Joey Jojo Shabadoo. Y'all ain't helping me. You ought to be able to make friends. My job is not how to tell you to make friends. My job is to empower you with the Spirit of God and fill you with the Word so you can march into Hell's Kitchen and take back everything the devil has stolen from you. We cannot be anemic in the word. Revival begins when the church rediscovers the word. When we get back to the Bible and when we preach the word, baby, it'll rip people's hearts open. The conviction will come when we start declaring, God, I want my life to line up with your word. Josiah, at 8 years old, y'all, he was radically consecrated. He tore down the booths. Can you imagine now? Listen, young person. In the temple, they had set up these booths where male prostitutes stayed in the temple 24/7. It was so immoral and so unrighteous. There were women who wove coverings for adulterous Asherah poles inside the temple itself. And the temple is full of compromise. And here this 8-year-old boy, filled with the power of God, energized by the word of God, he cleanses the temple. He burns the idols. He smashes their altars. And he has the word preached, and it sent shockwaves through the nation. Revival that's real requires not just the decoration, it requires demolition. He didn't go in there and decorate the place, man. He demolished every idol. And I say, God, tear down the idols in the American church. Come on, somebody, until we see revival again. Josiah didn't just remove the idols, he burned them to ashes. The Bible says, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest of the second order, the doorkeeper, to bring out of the temple of the Lord the articles that were made for Baal, Asherah, and the host, and all the host, for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, in the Kidron Valley, and carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the adulterous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places and in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem. An 8-year-old boy is doing this, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, the moon, and the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image of the out of the house of the Lord to the brook of Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook of Kidron, and ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. He scattered their dust. He desecrated their altars. And he fulfilled a prophecy, listen, that was spoken all the way back in 1 Kings 13:2. Hear me in this room. He even destroyed the shrines. The Hebrew imagery here is powerful. It represents purity, judgment, revival. He set that thing on fire. The temple was on fire. And I'm going to tell you, when the church burns, the nation turns. I said, when the church burns, the nation turns. When the church gets on fire for God, when the church says, I'm through with adultery, I'm through with immorality, when the church burns, the nation turns. The fire of consecration fuels the flame of revival. Baby, if it's not burned, it's not broken. And I'm saying, God, send the Holy Ghost and burn the compromise out of our churches. I know this isn't a popular message, but give me just a moment. Burn the immorality, burn the unrighteousness. Burn it out of the church. We can't change the world if we can't say, God, come in here and burn the compromise out of the church. Are you hearing me in this room? Consecration, release, revival, and preservation. The Bible says in 2 Kings 23:25, before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, his soul, his might, and his strength. But I want you to understand, 8 years old, God used him in a mighty way. But here's where I want to get. There was a word over his life. You see, long before Hezekiah didn't deposit, long before Manasseh forgot, long before Amnon faithfully built false idols, 300 years before Josiah was even born, there was a prophet who spoke a word over his life that made consecration, separation, and preparation an absolute necessity. This text right here is 300 years before Josiah was born. O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born to the house of David. Josiah by name, over 300 years before, God spoke, looked through the lens of time and eternity, and said, it's gonna get messy, but I got a boy, and I'm gonna call him by name. Let me tell you, that ought to make you want to shout, because that tells me I didn't get here on my own volition. I didn't look up in here, but I got here because there's a word over my name. Josiah by name, and on you he shall sacrifice the priest of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. He dug up these bones, baby, and he burned them and he ground them into powder. But 300 years before, there was a word over his name. Tell your neighbor, I have a word over my life. No, they didn't believe you. Tell somebody that actually believes you, I have a word over my life. I feel like preaching now. This is why Josiah couldn't blend in. This is why he couldn't bow. This is why he couldn't backslide. This is why he couldn't play around, because there was a word over his life. He couldn't be like everybody else. He couldn't act like every other king, because there was a word over his life. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there is a word over your life. I dare somebody right now, don't care if you're 60, 70, 80, or 16. If you believe there's a word over your life, open up your mouth and give God a shout right now. That's why you got to protect what God has spoken over you. That's why you can't be playing with the enemy. If Josiah had compromised, prophecy would have been aborted. But I'm going to tell you, he consecrated himself. And consecration kept him until the prophetic word called him. You missed it. Can you bring it up? Can you keep up with me in the back? Consecration kept him until the prophetic word called him. And I want to tell you that consecration will keep you until the prophetic word of God catches you. I dare somebody right now who believes that maybe there's a word over your life that ain't manifested yet, but you're going to live a life that that word can show up in. 1, 2, 3, make a little noise in the room. That's all right, sister. You feel like running? Oh, somebody give God a shout. I didn't know this was going to happen, but I feel like something's about to break open in this room right now. Tell somebody, I have a word over my life. No, stand to your feet and look down your row and tell somebody, say, I have a word over my life. Listen, this is why you can't do what they do. You can't bow where they bow. You can't smoke what they smoke. You can't drink what they drink. You can't watch what they watch. You can't wear what they wear. You can't go with. I got a word over my life. Tell your neighbor, I got a word over my life. Yeah, you won't see me at Razzles. You won't see me at the club. You won't see me acting crazy. I got a word over my life. I need 1,000 people. If not everybody, at least 1,000 of you. Shout if you got a word over your life. That's why you can't be fornicating. That's why you can't be stepping out on your marriage. That's why you can't be watching porn. That's why you can't be acting crazy. That's why you can't. There's a word over your life. Hallelujah. Somebody right now, do you believe there's a word over your life? If there's a word over your life, you're going to walk different. If there's a word over your life, you're going to worship a little deeper. God, I'm about to take my jacket off because I'm going to preach whether you shout or not. Some of y'all wonder why people act crazy when they praise the Lord. Some of y'all wonder why people get so caught up in worship that they lay on the floor and weep. It's because they know there's a word over their lives. Get your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor. Say, you can just stand there if you need to, but I need 30 seconds to give God a praise, because there's a word over my life. There's a destiny over my life. There's a future over my life. There's a positive, there's a word over this church. There's a word over your children. 1, 2, 3, shout unto God. When there's a word over your life, some people can just stand there when their praise is going on. But when there's a word over your life, and they start singing, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. You know that word decrees it and declares it because God is on your side. I need to tell somebody who's been fighting hell and you feel like the devil has been trying to overcome you. Listen, God still got a word in place over your life. Consecrate yourself and get ready. She's still running. I want about 5 people that feel like you got a word over your life. This girl's running a marathon. Somebody run out of your seat right now if you got a word over your life. I'm running. I got a word over my life. Come on. I got a word over my life. I don't need social media to give me a word. I don't need a TikTok influencer to give me a word. I don't need the Democrats to give me a word. I don't need the Republicans to give me a word. I don't need CNN or Fox to give me a word. I got a word over my life. I feel a breakthrough in this house. Tell somebody there's a word over your life. 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 There's a word. Don't you forget. Don't you be like Manasseh and forget. Come on. There's a prophecy hanging over your name. There is a word over your life. You might have been raised in a mess, but there's a word over your life. You might have been homeless, but there's a word over your life. You might have been abused, but there's a word over your life. Somebody ought to give God praise that there's been a word over your life. I got a feeling that somebody's about to get reacquainted with the word. Yeah, look at Dawn. Dawn said, I'm going to dance by myself. Somebody right now ought to go ahead and praise the Lord. Y'all, I'm trying to finish up. Somebody ought to just turn around or dance or jump or something. That my God, there's a word about this season. There's a word about this situation. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, when I was a baby, just a little baby, my granddaddy was very prophetic. And they had 13 kids, and my grandma had them all. Come on. So you can imagine how many grandbabies there were. And my granddaddy, he died in 1968. In the pulpit, he read the scripture after preaching decades. He read the scripture, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach for any people. And he leans over the pulpit and he goes to heaven. Can you imagine? But he took me when I was a newborn baby. They brought him in and the whole family was there. And he held me up in front of my whole family. And I don't say this to boast, I say this to testify. He didn't do it to not one other child, but he said, if this boy lives, he will preach the gospel around the world. And God will use him in a mighty way. Now I took a long way to get there. I was rebellious, drinking, acting crazy. I lost my mind and lost my way, but there was a word over my life. I wish I could find somebody to help me. I shouldn't be here. I tried not to be here. I didn't want to preach. I was doing anything but preparing for this moment right now. But baby, I could not escape it because there was a word over my life. I need somebody right now who rode in on the word that's over your life. Give God the most ridiculous praise and thank you that you have. It didn't matter that Hezekiah didn't make the deposit. It didn't matter that Manasseh forgot. It didn't matter that Amnon was immoral. What mattered was that there was a word over Josiah's life. And I want to tell you, young person, there's a word over your life. This is why there's websites you can't visit. You need to unload some of that social media. What's that? What, that one that they send pictures on and it disappears? Snapchat, you need to snap that chat right out of your phone. See, I heard somebody talking this weekend, it's so true. We're blaming everything on the devil. The truth is, a lot of it is because your mind ain't been renewed. Come on. I bind the devil. No, what you need to do is bind 45 hours a week off of the cell phone. Revival swept the land because one man refused to blend in. He refused to be a part of a polluted culture. I always want to be careful, especially nowadays, that I preach real truth, but I preach it with real love. And I'm always trying, today especially, I wasn't expecting it to get so radical and rowdy, but hey, I'm not scared. But I know this, when the church burns, the nation turns. And we're wanting God to turn the nation, but the church has got to be set on fire. We don't need more cool church trends. We need more Josiahs. Mm-hmm. So listen to me real closely. When there's a word over your life, you can't talk like everybody else. You can't act like everybody else. You can't run like everybody else. You can't bow like everybody else because there's a prophecy attached to you. I need to tell you, no matter what you feel, if you're in this room, there's a word over your life. You need to be consecrated because you've been chosen. And you won't blend in if you consecrate your life. You'll burn bright. And that's what I want for this house. There's a word over your life. And in Jesus' name, you're going to walk it out. There's a word over this church. But it's going to take, can I say it? The fire of consecration. It's going to take us being willing to separate ourselves. Young person, be careful with your life, mom and dad. You who are single. Watch your sexuality. Watch things that you do. Young person, don't make permanent decisions with temporary people. So here today, nobody leave. Would you bear with me for a moment? Sometimes you guys just rush out of here, and I wish you would just honor a moment. I love you. Y'all love me. We're family here. You know, y'all love me when I'm saying there's a word over your life, but you get aggravated if I tell you to stand still. Come on, somebody. But God wants to do something in somebody's life right now. And I want to take a moment and give God a chance to do it. Maybe you're here and you've forgotten who you are. Maybe you've bowed even this week to idols. Maybe you're here. But you know what God is calling you to do? Tear your garments again. Be like Josiah and repent. Some of you are here and you know you've been marked and you know that there's a word over your life. But this is a moment when you need to say, God, I'm not going to live this thing halfway anymore. I'm going all the way with you and I'll burn for you. Look at me now. Listen very closely because I'm talking only to you. I'm talking only to you. There's a prophecy that's waiting on your obedience. There's a prophecy over your life. It's hanging over your life. And it waits on your consecration. Young person, there's a destiny that you have. And all it needs is a yes. And heaven, all of heaven, will move on your behalf. The hour for the Josiah generation has come. Holy, hungry, healed, and burning. I believe in you. I believe in your purpose. I believe in you even if you don't believe in yourself. You're here today because someone may have prayed for you that you didn't even know. You're here today because somebody may have called your name out. That prophet called Josiah's name out and didn't even know who he was. Some of you, you only made it in this room because somebody called your name out before you ever even got here. That's power right there. I believe so greatly in God's plan for your life that I want to give you a moment to step in to that divine word. If you're here today, maybe this message in the last few minutes is marking your soul. If you're here, precious, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you would say, oh, I've got things in my life. I've been bowing to idols. I've got sin in my life. And that sin has marked my life. I've been filled with compromise. I've forgotten who I am. In this moment, God is calling you now. God is calling you. If you're here and you're not where you need to be with the Lord, when I count to three, if you're a sinner, there's sin in your life. When I count to three, raise up your hand. One, pray for me, Apostle. Hands are already being raised. Two, I'm not where I need to be. I got to get it right today. Three, slip up that hand. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. I'm going to lend you five more seconds. God is dealing with young people right now, mom, dads. He's dealing with men in particular right now. You at home, he's dealing with you. Five more seconds. Five, four, three. Don't miss this moment. It's time to repent. Two, one, zero. Some of you, this is going to be a surrender. Some of you, it's going to be a rededication. But if you raised your hand and you really meant it, I want you to come stand right here in the front. You won't come by yourself, I promise you. But if you raise your hand, if somebody next to you raised their hand and they're apprehensive to come, you get them by the hand and you bring them. Because today is the day of salvation. I see people weeping right now as they come. Hallelujah. Somebody, your grandmother prayed for you. Your grandfather prayed for you. Your mother has prayed for you. You have an aunt that prayed for you. Hallelujah. Stand tight just for a moment, then I'll collectively release you. But somebody give God praise in the room right now. Somebody give God praise. Look at him coming in literal droves. Look at him coming in literal droves. Oh, you ought to give God a shout of praise. This is what it's all about. Y'all better make room because this is what you call an altar call right here. This is the real thing. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Here they're still coming. I bet if you'll clap, they'll still come. There's salvation in the house. Can y'all spread all across the front? Can you spread all across the front? We've got so many here. We want to get them in from the back. Y'all just spread across the front. Listen, you know why? You know why you came forward? I feel something really unique. Touch that girl with the red shirt on right there. Oh, little daughter, I'm going to talk to you. What's your name? Jada. You're so pretty. I think you felt the Lord in a fresh way. And there's a divine reset that's happening in your life right now. Hallelujah. A new beginning for Jada. Take my hand, Jada. You know there's ministry in you, right? You know that, don't you? You know there's a word over your life. I bless you, Jada. I declare that the Lord brought you into this moment because he wants to remind you of who you are. Hallelujah. You're going to be covered fresh with the blood today. You're going to be reacquainted with your call today. She said, I receive it. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Come on. What about you? What's your name, honey? Right there. Yeah. Yeah. What's your name? RJ. You're so pretty. I'm talking to you. Yeah. You know what? Here's what I declare. There's been some times in your life that you felt a little bit invisible, but the Lord knows right where you are. And he's got such a plan for you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I just want to tell you that God's going to use you, that he had directed you right into this moment. Whatever's behind you is behind you. Can I speak over you? Would you receive this? Good days are in front of you. As you walk with the Lord, good days are in front of you. I bless you, honey, in the name of Jesus. I'm looking at young men right here. I'm looking at young ladies right here, teenagers. I'm looking at couples right here who have just said, I want to consecrate my life. And it's not going to stop with you. Okay, you're not going to be a Hezekiah that doesn't make the deposit. So I want you to take your hand, put it on your heart right here. Hallelujah. Who's ready to join them in consecration? Anybody in the aisle? In the seats? Put your hand on your heart. You at home, do the same. Pray this after me. Pray, Heavenly Father, say in Jesus' name, I come to you now. And I'm asking you, please forgive me for all my sins, all of them. Today, I rend my heart and I make room for you. Come into my house, come into my home, come into my life. There's a word. Say it again. Say, there's a word over my life that brought me right here today. So God, in Jesus' name, I'm going to walk this out. Thank you, Lord, for healing me, for restoring me. Everybody else, slip up your hands. If I pay you, if you're on my staff, come stand behind these and help me. We've got so many today. If you're an altar worker, you're an elder, anything like that, if you serve. One of the watchmen, come and help us pray for people today because we have so many. Who heard that word and believed it was for you? Come on, I really do. So raise up both hands and we're going to pray with people. I don't want you guys to run out because there'll be people around you. I need a lot of youth workers to help me right now for so many young people. I bless you in the name of Jesus and I declare that there's a word spoken over your life. And I declare that it does not, precious, stop with you, that it's going to go to your children. I declare that you won't see your children as they are, but you will begin to see them with eyes of faith. And I want you to release a word over your children right now. I want some of you to begin to speak the word over that lost son, over that lost daughter, over their attitudes, over their behaviors. Hallelujah. God is too good not to hear us when we pray. Now, as you raise up your hand as the father of this house, oh, thank you, Lord. In humility, I say that. And as God's voice in this moment, I speak over you. Come on, wave your hands. I speak over you that there's a word over your life. I declare that you will serve the Lord and you will walk in his power and his dominion. And every good thing he has for you shall come to pass in Jesus' name. Now let me finish you with this, precious. All you people here at the altars, you stay, sit tight. We're going to come down and pray with you. But next Sunday night now, we're going to have a revival service and I want you to be a part of it. I love you more than words can say. John, will you just worship with us? We're going to close this in worship. I bless you in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray with our people in the altars. Sing something. Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope. The message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.